was incredible. As I mentioned earlier, you know, the devil was certainly fighting. I'll just start off with Vicky's, you know, she's not on her A game. She certainly was on the piano, but just how she feels. And so be praying for her. Vicky, thank you. And the rest of you, I just want to say that she was not feeling well, but she really, just as a trooper, I'm so glad that she made it. And, you know, other challenges as well. The devil's always fighting. And anything that is worth anything on spiritual terms, the devil's going to fight it. You know, think of that verse in, 2 Timothy, yea, and all that shall live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. So anything that's done for the Lord, the devil's going to put his crosshairs on it. Let me just say again, boy, those songs stirred my heart. I know as well they stirred your heart. I mean, unless you don't have a heart. And I want you to take your Bibles here. I'm going to be short. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. I think if I put a title on this short message, it's just Jesus is the light of the world. He's the light of the world. And we certainly heard that in a number of those songs. And as we heard those wonderful songs that we're really so familiar with, along with those scripture verses that we heard, really you just can't help but see Christmas. Really, hopefully, you can't help but see Christmas in its true light, right? That God became man in order to save us. That Jesus Christ became a human being in order to die on a cross for our sins. But, you know, a lost world just doesn't see it. Right. And they don't get it. Right. And we certainly didn't see it when we were lost. This first thing that I just bring up is it's because lost people are blind, right? Lost people are blind. We'll see this here in this chapter here, or I'm really going to go down just to verse 6. Let me pull out a hymn here that I was looking at earlier, 391. I'm just going to read a couple of lines to you. Uh, 391 says, the light of the world. That's this hymn. That first stanza says, the whole world was lost in the darkness of sin. The light of the world is Jesus. Like sunshine at noonday, his glory shone in. The light of the world is Jesus. And then it says, come to the light, 'tis shining for thee. Sweetly the light has dawned upon me. Once I was blind, but now I can see. And the light of the world is Jesus. But that's where the world is. The world's in darkness. And they don't know our Savior. And to them, Christmas is a whole different thing. You know, when we were lost, and maybe it was just a short while back, or maybe it was quite some time back, but we never saw that as well. We never really understood the true meaning of Christmas, and that's why so many today see a whole different Christmas than we see. Here in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, I'll just read up through the beginning of verse 4. It says, therefore, seeing we have this ministry, as we have received mercy, we faint not. The Apostle Paul talks about this ministry that was given to him of preaching the gospel. And he says here in verse 2, but have renounced the hidden things of dishonesty, not walking in craftiness, nor handling the word of God deceitfully, but by manifestation of the truth, commending ourselves to every man's conscience in the sight of God. He's saying, listen, we just tried to come before you and tried to be as forthright and honest. He said the same thing to the church at Thessalonica when he said in 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he said, our exhortation was not of deceit. We didn't try to come and deceive you into anything, nor of uncleanness, nor in guile. He says, we didn't want to come. In verse 5 of 1 Thessalonians chapter 2, he says, neither at any time used we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness. God is witness. So we came to you just being forthright, just presenting the gospel and about the claims of the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we renounced all of the hidden things of dishonesty, as he speaks there in verse 2. And then he says, but if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. If our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost. And then it says here, the first part of verse 4, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not. Of them which believe not. Those that are lost, they look right past the real meaning and right past the most significant person ever, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And we shouldn't be surprised as we go around. We see that. And instead, you know, they've replaced him with a very heavy man in a red suit, all right? And it's all, you know, the devil's behind all that. The devil is just trying to get everybody's focus off of the Lord Jesus Christ. And again, on all of the glitter and all of the twinkling lights, and yes, that's a lot of fun, but, you know, when your focus is over here, when it should be on him, then the devil's, you know, he's won a battle there. And certainly for us as believers, hopefully we don't go down that road. Yeah, we have fun with those kinds of things. We have fun with Christmas trees and all of the things of Christmas. But let's not take our focus on what it ought to be. It ought to be on the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And on him only. Right. And then he says here in the last part of verse 4, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. So for us, for those of us who come to know the Lord Jesus Christ, we've come to understand, obviously, what Christmas is all about, that Jesus willingly left heaven. He left heaven's glory in order to put on humanity. The fact is that he was willing to put on a body, that he was willing to come to this earth and be born of a virgin and become this little child. I love that verse in 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 16, the first part of that, it says, and without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness, that God was manifest in the flesh. God was manifest in the flesh. That little one that came to this earth was God himself, God who put on a human body. Boy, that's just amazing when you think of it. The Father up in heaven, the Son comes down here to the earth. In time, the Spirit of God will be the one who indwells us. We can't figure all that out. Those who've tried to figure all of that out ended up starting some cult because they can't figure out the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And none of us are going to completely grasp that, but the Bible tells us that they are one. He's the triune God. And each one of them is God. What an amazing thing that the Lord did that to become that innocent child that would grow up and live a sinless life and die in our place, that we could be saved and that we could have eternal life. The Bible says it was the just dying for the unjust in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 18. The just, the one who didn't deserve to die, but the only one who was qualified to die on the behalf of the whole world because he had never committed any sin. He lived up to all the demands of the law. He lived them in our place because we had all fallen short. We're all sinners. And that's why we preach Christ. It's no other way. He is the only way. Jesus said that himself, John chapter 14. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. It's only through the Lord Jesus Christ. What an awesome thing. That's why the Apostle Paul says, who's the author of this book, but obviously it's the Spirit of God who wrote this, in verse 5 when he says, for we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. And that's why we, as believers in Christ, we preach Christ. There's no other way. It is only through him. Maybe you're here today and you heard these hymns, you've heard these Christmas songs, and you know about Christ, but you don't know him personally. You don't know him as your personal Savior. Then it's our prayer, it's our heart's desire that you would get saved. You know, we don't want to buttonhole you. But like Paul said, we persuade you. We want you so bad. We beseech you to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, because we all know that that's the greatest decision that you could ever make in this life, is to trust Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So if we come to that point, If you come to that point where we're willing to acknowledge that truth, that Christ Jesus came into the world, if we're willing to confess that we're sinners to God himself, the Bible says, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one, in the book of Romans, Romans chapter 3 and verse 10. And the Bible tells us that we've all committed sin. Again, as I just stated just a few moments ago, that we've all committed sin. Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 says, for the wages of sin is death. And the second part of that verse is tremendous news, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. We've all committed sin. And if you're here without Christ, and you've never trusted in him, then you are still in your sins, where every one of us were before we trusted Christ as Savior. And so we acknowledge to you, I acknowledge to you here this now afternoon, to place your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and what he can do for you. Because it says in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. He commended his love toward us. He showed, he demonstrated, he commended that love toward us, that while we were yet sinners, Jesus Christ was willing to die for you and me and for the sins of the whole earth, the whole world. But you must be willing to acknowledge that if you're here today without the Lord Jesus Christ, that he died in your place. Because, folks, there's not a one of us who could pay for our own sins. We are doomed. We're without hope, as Ephesians chapter 2 tells us. We're aliens from the commonwealth of Israel, as it says in that passage. We're apart from God. But the blood of Christ and what he did, and by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ, can be the whole game changer. Amen. It can make a whole difference in your life. Right. So understanding that you recognize the fact, if you're here today without Jesus Christ and you've never put your faith and trust in him, acknowledging that you're a sinner and understanding that he died on a cross for your sins, be willing to believe that God sent his son. You know, we know that verse, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. You know, you see it everywhere. You see it at a football game. There's somebody behind the goalpost with John 3:16. That's the gospel right there in a nutshell. That God sent his son for you and for me. And he wants you to be saved. He came so that he would die in your place. And if we'll believe that Christ truly died on that cross and that he rose again, that we can be saved. Only Jesus, and this last little point that I'll bring up, only Jesus can give light to your lost soul. Only the Lord Jesus Christ can help you to understand and to see that you need a Savior. And he does that work right in your very own hearts. It says here in verse 6 of 2 Corinthians chapter 4, for God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God shined a light in my heart one day, many years back. I'm so grateful for that because I wasn't looking for God. He was looking for me. Amen. The Bible says we love him because he first loved us. So God, as a compassionate shepherd looking for his lost sheep, and we had all gone astray, as Isaiah chapter 53 says very, very clearly, we all went our own way, and the Lord sought us out and did something in your life. He did something in my life to awaken me. Otherwise, I'd still be lost in my sins. I'd still be on my way to hell if I wasn't already in hell. And I'm so grateful that he interrupted all my plans. I'm so glad that God took a notice and an interest in me. Because he died for me, and he died for everyone here this morning or this afternoon now. And if you're here without Christ, he died for you personally, and he wants to save you. And he wants to shine that light in your heart. And it says here, I'll just take a look at John chapter 12. If you have that there in your Bible, turn to John chapter 12. I'll just read these verses. There were those that were inquiring about the Lord. And I'll read verses 32 through 36. Very, very eye-opening here. John chapter 12, verse 32 says, "And I," and this is the Lord Jesus speaking, "and I, if I be lifted up from the earth, will draw all men unto me." And he's referring to when he's lifted up on that cross. "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." This he said, signifying what death he should die. The people answered him, "We have heard out of the law that Christ abideth forever. And how sayest thou, the Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man?" Then Jesus said unto them, "Yet a little while is the light with you. Walk while ye have the light, lest darkness come upon you. For he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth. While ye have the light, believe in the light, that ye may be the children of light." The Lord was very, very clear that, listen, when you have been presented with the truth and with the gospel and the truths of God's word, that Jesus lived that sinless life, that he went to a cross, that he died a brutal death on that cross, and all the way leading up to it, and then was buried and rose again. He did it for you. He did it for myself. For those of us that do know that we're saved, it ought to just make us fall on our face again before the Lord and say, "Lord, thank you for everything you did for me. Thank you how you gave your son. Thank you, Lord Jesus, how you went to that cross." You know, he could have drew back. And he said he could have called 12 legion of angels if he wanted to. And he could have just vaporized those enemies, but he didn't do it. He went all the way to the cross for you and I so that we could be saved. And we get to praise him now, and we certainly will praise him forever and ever for all that he's done. And may we just be reminded of that regularly, because that'll keep us in a good place. It'll keep us in a good place of thank you, Lord, and praising him, thanking him. Folks, whenever you and I get off on the distraction trail and we get caught up in this life with all of the problems and all of the difficulties, it's just good to just call a little timeout, just a little 20-second timeout like basketball coaches like to do, and just stop and just go, "Lord, I need to just kind of focus on you. Thank you. Thank you for it." It'll change your day around, because we all get sidetracked with things, with the stresses and the problems in this life. But the Lord Jesus said, "While you have the light, believe in the light," he says to those that were inquiring about him. And then if we'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ for forgiveness and salvation, he will surely give it to us. He loves to forgive. And he loves to give eternal life to those who call upon him. And Romans chapter 10, verses 9 and 10 says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So if we from our hearts, if you're here without Christ today, from your heart, if you'll call upon the Lord Jesus Christ to save you, he'll give you everlasting life. What a wonderful trade that is. What a wonderful transaction. You have never had a transaction like that where you give up all of your filth and wickedness and your sins, and he gives you eternal life. Whoever did that, well, the Lord has done that. And he wants to save you. And then it says, just a couple verses past that in Romans, I'm in Romans 10 reading these verses. Romans chapter 10 and verse 13 says, "For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." Just calling upon the Lord. You know, we like to think as people that, when we were back in the days when we were lost, and I remember thinking these thoughts that I think that I'll get to heaven one day. I was a lost young man, a lost teenager until I was 19 and I got saved. I just used to think that I'd get to heaven because of trying to do my best. Nobody's going to make it that way. Again, because of sin, because of unforgiven sin. We're sinners before a righteous and a holy God. And he must judge sin. That's why he made it possible when he sent his son to die for us. And folks, that's the answer is right there, that if we'll put our faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ and call upon him, he'll give to us eternal life, and he'll give to you eternal life today. That little babe that came over 2,000 years ago, that was the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Lord of glory, and he came to give his life for you. If you're here without him today, then our desire is that you would trust him. In just a moment, we're gonna sing an invitation hymn. It's a good opportunity to respond for those of us who know the Lord Jesus Christ, for those of us to respond and say, Lord, it's just another great opportunity to just say thank you. Thank you that I'm your child. Thank you that you worked in my heart. You showed me that I was lost. I was on my own path, and you disrupted it, and you showed me that I was lost and on my way to hell. And now I'm no longer on my way to hell. I'm saved, and I belong to you. A great opportunity for us to continually thank him for that. But if you're here today without Jesus Christ, this is a great opportunity for you today. While you have the light, God's speaking to your heart today. Yeah, you say, that's kind of an embarrassing, that's a tough decision to make. Yeah, it's not an easy decision, but the Lord will help you. And you take that first step. Maybe you're here today without Christ. I'm persuading you to step out in the aisle, come up front, and we'll have somebody that'll show you from the Bible how you can be saved. And forever and ever, you'll go, that was the greatest decision I ever made. It was because God did a work in my heart. Again, if you already know him, it's a great opportunity for us to just thank him again and again for what he has done for us. So we'll go ahead, and what I'll do right now is I want us to bow our heads. And I want us to just be in a spirit and an attitude of prayer. If you're here and you know the Lord Jesus Christ, this is a good time to just thank the Lord again and to praise him. Maybe it's a time to just acknowledge something before the Lord. Maybe something that he's spoken to your heart about. It's always good to come to the altar if you can and thank the Lord. If you're here without Christ, again, as I said a little earlier, we would love to show you. If you have some questions, just wonder about some things, then I would certainly love to answer any questions you have. Or there are certainly those here that would love to be able to answer any questions you have or if you want to be saved. So with our heads bowed, let's just have a short word of prayer, and then we're going to sing a hymn, and let's just let God do what he wants to do here this afternoon. Father, we thank you, and we're grateful to you. Thank you for this musical. We thank you for all those who were involved. I thank you for all of the talents and abilities that you've given to them, and we certainly enjoyed that, but we know that that's not what it was about. None of them wanted to come up here and showcase that. They all came up here to exalt you, and we thank you for that. And I know you spoke to my heart and to every heart that's here. So I thank you for what's taken place up till now. Thank you for your word. Thank you that you're the light of the world. Thank you, Lord, that you give eternal life to those who call upon you. Thank you for dying for us on a cross, and that you were buried and rose again, and that you're a living Savior, and you're seated at the right hand of the Father. And I pray, Father, that your will be done here these next few moments as we sing this hymn, that you'll work in hearts, that you'll work in somebody's heart that needs to know Christ. So we thank you, we praise you in all of that. In Christ's name we ask. Amen. So let's